across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Days ago, I caught up with the Reverend Ron Lancaster, who is the founder of Kimbolton Fireworks. The ex-chemistry master told me about his fascination for fireworks and how the factory came into being. This had to be a pre-record because he's also actually a pastor, and he's in church this morning delivering a service. So here he is speaking to me a few days ago. Speaking to the Reverend Ron Lancaster, who started up the Kimbolton Firework Factory in 1965, was it, or thereabouts?
64, that's
64.
Right.
64.
A year after I came to the school as chaplain.
Mm-hmm. But you were a chemistry teacher as well, is that right?
That's right. That's
and was
right.
that your love?
Oh, absolutely. I never, I didn't intend to be ordained when I was a schoolboy, of course. I was going to do medicine. So, of course, I went to university as a scientist. But on the other hand, I was persuaded at that time, having decided to be ordained, to take an arts degree. Anyway, I compromised, really, by doing the first degree with divinity and psychology.
Okay. But chemistry was always there, was it?
Oh, always. I've been a sort of budding chemist ever since I was quite a small boy. I think I was probably encouraged by my cousin, who was living with us temporarily during the war. He'd been turned out of Cambridge to do war work, and so he was an inspector and he lived with us and worked at Leeds University. So, of course, I had the ways and means of getting chemicals as well.
And is that what it was about? Did you like noises, bangs, explosions?
I think so, but also I had the good fortune to be brought up quite close to the Huddersfield firework industry. So I had two companies on either side of where I lived, one on the approaches to the hills on the way to Manchester, and the other towards the south. And so I knew a lot of people who worked in the firework trade.
So. And there was a fascination there.
Oh, yes. You know, the Germans say that once you've smelt black powder, it's with you for the rest of your life. And I think most of us sort of feel that, and I don't really understand it.
But that's a fact. So as a chemistry teacher, was that your favourite part as well, kind of the noises and bangs and mixing things together to make explosions?
It did have an effect in school, there's no doubt about it, because if they could get me off the official's lesson onto subjects like that, they would do, of course. And in those days when we did a bit of work with one or two staff after school in our laboratories here, we'd test them probably about 7 at night as we went into dinner, the bachelors in those days, and the boys would see from prep what was going on outside, so they used to stop to have a look. They got a bit bored, though, because we often did the same thing until we'd reached the kind of perfection that we were looking for.
That must have been a schoolboy's dream, though. I can imagine when they were doing the more tedious parts of chemistry, that they would divert you onto something that they knew that you'd be interested in.
Oh, well, yeah, that certainly did happen, and lots of them had come back. Still talk about it, of course. And there were lots of boys who, for whom it had some influence, actually, in the course of time.
Yes.
And, I mean, I've got one friend who's a GP. Well, two GP friends who both were interested in fireworks. One has retired now as a paediatric surgeon, but he used to do the biggest firework displays with us. He was in charge of one of the barges for the big displays at the end of the war.
Wow.
You know, and then another friend more recently coming from this area sort of began through the contacts in those days, yes.
And when did it move from being a fascination into actually a commercial venture?
It happened gradually without any plan whatsoever. I built the laboratories just to do research work for one of the firework companies, and little did I know that the firework industry was going to get into a state of collapse then, and that gradually people would start asking us to do firework displays. Mm-hmm. So having built the first laboratories by 64, we were already running quite a lot of big country firework displays because of the collapse of the industry, certainly by the mid-80s. But we're only doing it as a hobby. And the only reason it worked was that most of the displays we were doing were in the school holidays, because basically the kind of displays we were interested in were local regattas and carnivals and that sort of thing. So the displays we did ran from May until probably September, quick push in November, and then it was dead, really, from the rest of the year, right the way through to... And a typical weekend in the display time for us in school time, and that was just at the beginning of September, October, we would be teaching until midday on Saturday. We'd loaded the van the night before. We'd leave then as soon as we could and go and do the display, come back very late at night. I'd have school chapel the next morning. I then had to entertain the preacher in the evening and to dinner afterwards, and then back to school on Monday morning, and we underloaded the van on Monday night. So that's how it worked.
Wow.
And any other circumstances, if it had been a day school, it worked in a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, in the boarding school in those days, when you were working, and when you were not, you were free.
Yes.
And that's the big difference to a state school, yes. I must admit. So it worked. And then, of course, it developed. And then eventually, when I decided to retire from teaching, we rebuilt the laboratories and moved to the new site. And so the new factory was built probably in the late 80s, really.
And it's built in a very particular way, isn't it, with very, very strong concrete flooring and protective areas.
Absolutely.
Just in case the worst happens.
We are very strict on safety and safety practices, and we built it to all the latest standards and ideas, very much influenced at that time by my friendship with the German firework industry. So we used the methods that had been pioneered in Germany between the wars, really, to build our little factory. Well, it all depends on what you call little. But we don't employ as many people as we did. We used to employ 15 full-time. Now we're down to about 9. We're waiting now hopefully for Brexit, because we are in a very difficult position over the EU Pyrotechnic Directive, which means that we can make fireworks to use in our own displays, but we can't sell it to the rest of the trade.
Oh, really?
No, not unless we paid an enormous sum for CE marking.
Oh, I see.
And, I mean, if you reckon it could cost us €1,000 to mark one firework, and we've got 200 of them, the outlay is enormous, and so we haven't done it. And, of course, the market is flooded, of course, with Chinese fireworks. We buy a lot of Chinese fireworks and always have, but we still make a lot of the fireworks for our own displays.
That would be the specialist ones, presumably.
That's right, yes. The big ones. Right. And we are hoping that by the time we get to Brexit, we shall not anymore use the CE's, the EU standard. We shall go back to the old British standard.
Mm. So you're an organisation which will benefit
It's getting worse than that, really, because so many people are buying Chinese fireworks now, and people are sort of setting up businesses to do their own displays with Chinese fireworks, that we are slowly losing income from that point of view. So we're just hoping that Brexit will be good for us anyway. This is one case where it's good. It would be good for British listeners.
Yes, I know. You don't hear many of those stories at the moment, do you?
No.
And do you design firework displays as well?
Yes.
I love that, you know. I love the big firework displays. And I go to the Kimbolton one usually every year.
Oh, right.
And I always stand there thinking, what must it be like to actually design fireworks? Is it a very difficult thing to do?
Well, it's not. I mean, it sounds exciting, and it can be if you have some really interesting conditions to work too. But sometimes, you see, people will ask it. One of our most regular interesting displays is Shrewsbury Flower Show. We do it twice in August every year. We've done it for nearly 40 years. And basically, they will sort of say, well, could we have a theme for, say, the Wild West this year? Now, you have to put your thinking cap on and you have to think, what could we do in fireworks which might really be something for the Wild West, you know? And you start to think, well, this is quite difficult, really.
Yes.
Will you get down to brass tacks?
Yes.
What sort of colours would he use? And would it be all sandy yellow? You know, all that sort of thing. And there are some things, though, which are quite different, like some pieces lend themselves very much to music, you see.
Yes.
I mean, if you, for instance, were going to choose, say, something old hat like the Blue Danube, it's fairly easy to do fireworks that will go dee 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 dee,
yeah,
dee dee, you know.
Yes.
That sort of way that you can do, and it can be very interesting. And one of the things we sometimes do at Shrewsbury, we choose music which is jumping around. And then in the near audience, where then we have near audience with stuff further back, we can put individual fireworks all over the site. And then by electricity, as these noises come up, it'll pop up there, and then it pops up there, and then it'll pop up there. And the children, of course, get quite excited by this, as you can do. Easier to do with the computers and
Is it computer-generated?
Oh, yes, we're using computers to do it. When I say we, not me, it's the newer generation who are the computer people.
I guess it's changed a lot in the way you design displays.
Oh, IT to me is to some extent a bit of a burden, really, because I'd rather read the Telegraph and the Spectator than spend my time searching the net. So, I mean, basically, no, I make fireworks. I'm more interested in the practicalities.
In the mixing of the chemicals than that.
That's right.
But it's great, and I love the displays. They are absolutely fabulous. And you've done very large displays, haven't you?
We have, I suppose. I suppose the biggest display we did was obviously the Olympics. And indeed, the Olympic display was a great privilege, you know, to be able to do it. And you know, the next generation who did all the work of it and everything else, they, you know, clearly they did a marvellous job, the team as such, but you never knew quite how it was going to work out.
It must be quite nerve-wracking, actually, on that scale, when the world is watching.
And at the last minute, at the very last minute, they said, oh, there's going to be a famous footballer coming up in a barge to start the display off, you see, and we want fireworks to line the route all the way along that. We were doing that days before it happened, you know, added at the last minute.
Gosh.
Oh, and we'll have a few fireworks on the top of Tower Bridge as well. And it was all coming in, coming in. I mean, it was a great privilege to do it. We weren't allowed to advertise that we were doing it, you know.
Oh, really?
No, not until long after.
Wow.
No. Only the people who sponsored the Olympics could advertise there, but we couldn't. And, funnily enough, we didn't make a profit out of it either.
Oh, you're joking.
No.
What a great publicity retrospectively.
because we every time something came in, you see, we had to do more. We didn't make any money.
I suppose all the last minute demands as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've never really completely added it up. I can't say that we probably made a loss, but certainly we didn't make profit. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
But a great privilege to have done it.
A lost leader, I guess you'd call that. A lost leader, but it would give you great kudos.
And some good film from it.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So where do you go from now? Do you see the factory expanding? Or I know you're hoping that the Brexit will, you know, enable probably expand.
If the Brexit settles, the real problem that we've got now, which is establishing who the professionals are and who are just the Chinese importers, and that we control better what is being sold to the general public as well. Unless these things happen, then I don't see the future for our development particularly at all. All I can say is that we're hoping that at least we shall carry on as we are. And at least all I can say, which is rather selfish, really, is that personally I've had the best time. Well, that's all I can say.
At least you've had fun as well, doing something that you clearly really love.
Yeah. Well, that's our problem. We need good government control now. It's in quite a parlous state, and that needs to make it less bureaucratic, and I think it's not only us as well, but the EU regulations for pyrotechnics are German-led, and like so many things, it's gone just that bit too far and got too expensive. Mm-hmm. We're paying a lot of money for this control. But really, and I mean, I'm talking about it might be costing us $10,000 a year in fees for government control. And yet, we are not particularly profitable. It's a lot easier to just buy the fireworks from China for somebody who wants it to run a firework display.
Which would be a great shame.
Yes, it would. There's great scope for making good changes and doing it. It's just a question of what's going to happen between now and March 29, and the big question is, will our people who are supposed to be ready to control it, will they be ready? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. And all I can say is long live Kimbolton Fireworks, the last sole remaining UK firework factory.
Yes. Well, that's it. It's been a great pleasure to do it, and very much part of my life, of course. It's my baby, really, and I should be very sorry to see it. Well, I don't suppose it would decline, but it won't be what it has been.
Thank you very much, Ron Lancaster, for speaking to us. Thank you.
Pleasure.